Pro Desk or lowesforpros.com for details and exclusions. Valid September 17th through 30th. Registration required for savings online, U.S. only.
Football, baseball, and yes, current events. All coming your way on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. Welcome aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Kirk Ferentz met the media earlier on today. Did he poo-poo something? We will talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. Also, Cal Elder to talk Major League Baseball. We're going to hear from Ryan Dunleavy from the Newark newspaper and talk about Rutgers and the Scarlet Knights. They come into the Big Ten opener like Iowa at 2-1. And my gosh, Mark Dukes, Hollywood super couple are no more. Brad and Angelina filing for divorce today. Are you over it? Good afternoon.
I read it and I'm over it.
Okay. I'm okay with it. I'm fine. If they both, you know, can go their separate ways and everything, you know, as long as everything just works out fine with the whole family. But boy, the world is melting down today. Yeah, according to social networking and things like that. My gosh, if we spent this much time on pressing issues of the day, instead of Brad and Angelina, I think we get a lot done.
You mean like who Ryan Lochte's living with now?
Yeah, things like that.
More pressing issues?
Like that, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We kid. 5 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock, we're going to talk to Cal Eldred. Ryan Dunleavy is going to be joining us, and we will talk Rutgers football with the beat writer for the Scarlet Knights for the Newark paper. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit on the Tuesday edition of the show here today. Kirk Ferentz news conference today, though. Very interesting, Mark. Kirk is saying, don't worry about it. It's not a story here. Desmond King is not a captain for this week's game. In Piscataway, New Jersey, as Iowa opens the Big Ten season against the Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Yeah, Kirk Ferentz usually opens his news conference or you know, shortly thereafter by announcing the captains each week. And he announced today C.J. Beathard, Matt Vandenberg, LaShawn Daniels, and Josie Jewell will be the captains for this Saturday's game at Rutgers. LaShawn Daniels replacing Desmond King as a captain. I don't know how many straight weeks King has been a captain, but and this is voted on by the players.
Yeah,
the coaches have nothing to do with it.
Nothing to
apparently.
Do with it.
Does something smell?
Is there fire? Is there smoke to this, I should say?
Or is it not a big deal?
That's the question out there. Kirk Ferentz says it's not a big deal.
All of a sudden, the team... Either LaShawn Daniels is more of a leader than Desmond King, or King
maybe
is not so much of a leader.
Maybe he told him, hey, this guy needs to get motivated on that side of the ball. Who knows? I mean, there could be an underlying reason to all of this. And perhaps they're making a mountain out of a molehill here. I don't know. But it's just unusual because that is a very rare occurrence in the Kirk Ferentz era. Even though the Iowa coaches have nothing to do with it.
First question asked of Kirk Ferentz was, no Desmond King as captain? And Kirk said this, the leadership group votes on them, and last year was one of those years where we just kind of settled in. I don't think we had a change with the four guys for the entire season. You know, we'll see. In years past, we've had a lot of multiple ones. So no big story there, says Kirk.
That's what Kirk says. All right, what say you? 319-366-1600. That is the phone line. That is also our Jerry K. Ask Investment Services text line. Thanks to Jerry K. Ask for helping us out with that. We do appreciate it, and you can let us know what your thoughts. 319-366-1600.
Is it a big deal? I mean, you've got a returning All-America.
You have a returning All-American, and he's suddenly not a captain. going into your conference opener. There's something there. There's something there.
That's my inclination.
Yeah. How big or little, whatever the case may be, there is something there. Whether it's behind the scenes, whatever.
Players available for interviews, they're not going to say anything.
No. No, they're not going to do it. And like I said, we're probably making too much out of it. But that is the reality, that Desmond King is not a captain.
Let's just put it this way. It's odd.
It's odd. It's, I don't know if it's unprecedented, but it hasn't happened in a while. Let's just say that. Has not happened in a while. All right, we're going to talk to Cal Eldred coming up in just a little bit. We're going to talk Rutgers football with Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Star Ledger. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Appreciate that. We'll talk with him coming up here on the program as well as we get to 9 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the Tuesday edition of the program. So we're going to take an early break, come back, because we got a lot to cover here during the 3 o'clock hour. Stay with us. More to come. You're listening to the Gym Class here on KGYM.
Hey, pro football fanatics. NFL Red Zone from NFL Network will be back in action this season on MediaCom. With NFL Red Zone, you'll see every touchdown from every game every Sunday afternoon. You'll also see game highlights shortly after they happen, so you'll never miss an amazing play. Plus, when any team gets inside the 20-yard line, NFL Red Zone cuts to the action live. And if you're into fantasy football, NFL Red Zone gives you up-to-the-minute fantasy stats, extended highlights, in-depth coverage, and more. Sound good? MediaCom makes it even better. Just ask how you can get NFL Red Zone from NFL Network for the entire 2016 season for just $5. Call MediaCom at 800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 800-SIMPLIFY.
MediaCom Prime TV with sports tier and NFL Network required. Not available in all areas.
Rev up for Waypoint's Gentleman Ride, October 8th. Twist the throttle at McGrath Power Sports in Cedar Rapids. Kick stands up at 11 a.m. Ride the back way to the Crooked Antler in Van Horn. Cruise through the country to Grand Central Station in Belle Plaine. Head over the hills to Beer 30 Tap in Marengo. And finish at Wild Hogs in Walford. Fee is $15 per bike or $25 for two-up. And all proceeds benefit Waypoint's Domestic Violence Services. Pre-order your t-shirt now at waypointservices.org. Be part of Waypoint's Gentleman Ride, October 8th.
Covering Eastern Iowa sports for more than 40 years combined. UNASH and Dukes. The Gym Class on KGYM.
Back with you at 11 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. We're going to talk with Cal Eldred, the major leaguer, coming up here in just a moment. Mark, you probably had a better time watching Dancing with the Stars and listening to your Chicago Bears last night here on KGYM.
I hung with it as long as I could. And then I tuned out. They're not a very good football team right now. I'm actually fairly pleased that Jay Cutler is going to be on the sidelines.
For how long, we really don't know.
I'm ready to cut bait with him. I really am.
Yeah. I think a lot of Bears fans are ready to kind of cut bait with him as well. But he is going to be out for a while.
Yep.
So
apparently when he went into the game with an injury.
All right.
The Jerry Ask Investment Services text line is available to you, 319-366-1600. A couple have weighed in regards to Desmond King not being a captain this week, 6686. Did anyone notice how Desmond did not stand in the sideline huddle before the two-point conversion try? No, I didn't.
I can't say that I noticed that, no.
49.95, King probably questioned the play calling like everyone else. Thank you, Randy.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, there's smoke there, I think. I don't know how big of a story it is, but I think there's smoke there a little bit. We're going to talk Major League Baseball right now, 12 past the hour of 3. Our friend Cal Eldred, who joins us on Tuesdays here on the Gym Class, joins us. Now that the minor league season is done, Cal, good afternoon. Are you spending more time at home, or are you in Kansas City right now?
I am neither. It's instructional league time.
Ah, Arizona.
Yes. I'm down in Arizona in Surprise, and we've got, I think we've got probably 55 kids down here or more that pitchers, catchers, position players, and it's kind of a fun time, really, once the kids accept that they're going to be here for 4 or 5 more weeks, because they really find out after a week or so that I'm getting to work on things, I'm getting better, so it's a great time.
Is there any 29-year-old former NFL quarterbacks in camp, Kel?
You know, we looked at one and decided that that we wouldn't go that direction.
Yeah. He's doing fine, though. According to today's news conference, he's doing fine. So there you go. Yeah, a lot of people, Arizona Fall League will be getting underway here soon. So there's a lot of baseball yet to go this year.
Yeah, and that's what with professional baseball, you know, I guess it just continues to get more involved. The off season is shorter. I don't even know if you're a front office guy, person and or a scout. Mm. There is no off season, and you just continue on with the with finding new players, working with the ones you have. And we have instruction like now. Then the Arizona Fall League will start, and we actually for a lot of our Latin kids from Latin America, we have an academy in the Dominican. A lot of those kids will go down there and start their instruction leg in November.
Kel, we had a discussion in the sports office before the show about the Cy Young races in each league, and specifically it was came down in the American League because kind of quietly, quietly outside of Boston, Rick Porcello has won 21 games in the American League. Tonight, J.A. Happ from Toronto can win his 20th. But places like, excuse me, CBS Sports, favor Corey Kluber, maybe even Sale. Now, what about these two guys, Porcello and Happ?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because J.A. Happ is a guy who you got to give him a lot of credit. He was somebody that not a lot of teams wanted 3 or 4 years ago, and he just continued to work on figuring out what can he do to get big league hitters out. What is it that he does that is effective? And, you know, he's continued to work at it. And you have to give him, I think, almost all the credit in the world for becoming who he is. And he's been with some good teams, and he's pushed through some times that where a lot of guys may have given up or just accepted, this is who I am. And I think he decided this that he didn't want to accept, this is who I am. In other words, being just an average or at times even a below average pitcher. Rick Porcello, on the other hand, is a guy that Detroit thought was going to be a guy who was going to be dominant. And he does have dominant stuff. And I think he had to figure out at some of it was mechanical. Some of it was, how do I use my pitches? And when he's gotten over to Boston, they've given him the opportunity. And you guys know, Boston is not the easiest place to play. And even as a home player, it's not the easiest place to play. Harder to be a home player than a visitor at times. But Rick has figured out how to get his fastball that moves so much in and out of the strike zone. And so I really like him. I do. I think he's a little bit like the story of Corey Kluber, who had the same thing happen to him a few years ago. Kluber was in the minor leagues at one time and bounced back. So I think Porcello, I was looking at it, 21 games, 21 wins, an ERA just a shade over 3. He's been very impressive in the atmosphere that he's done it.
And they've both benefited from very good offenses, let's face it.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you look at what Cleveland's done offensively, Boston leads in runs scored per game, and it's a huge advantage when you're out there on the mound and your team scores first, or you can relax when you give up one or two that you know your team's going to score, no question.
Mm-hmm. I think Porcello is the guy. Corey Kluber's had a tremendous second half. When Cleveland started getting hot, that is when Corey Kluber started getting hot. Throw Sale out, and I'm a White Sox fan. He's not going to win it because the White Sox are under 500.
And he hasn't done extremely well after the All-Star break. Yeah,
just haven't. But I think we'll come down to Happ, Kluber, or Porcello. But I think Porcello, you can't really look. If he wins 23 games, you can't really look the other way with that, can you?
No, I don't think so. Because you still have to pitch with these leads. You still have to get outs. And there's been games that have been close. And that's why he's pitched in games where he's been, for the most part, when Dave Porcello was the ace when David Price was struggling. And so you've got to give him credit. And so to win that many games, even though the offense has been good, he's pitched in some very, very tight situations and has done well. So I look at it, I'm actually looking at that, guys, and I'm kind of like with you, Scott. I'm leaning towards Porcello at this point.
National League side of things, you've got three pitchers, two of them Cubs with 17 wins, Arrieta and Lester. Scherzer up there as well with the Washington Nationals. Johnny Cueto has had a really nice year for the San Francisco Giants. Then you got Kyle Hendricks with a minuscule ERA of 2.06. Doesn't have the 17 wins, obviously. I go off the board. I say John Lester is the guy so far. Just a little bit over Hendricks and Max Scherzer, but that's just my vote right now with 2 weeks left in the National League.
You know what, guys? Bouncing this around the last couple weeks, I've looked at Max Scherzer has been so incredibly dominant. This second half of the season, it's scary. His numbers are ridiculous. And John Lester, I give him a lot of credit too, because you know he's really striving to get better, and that's what you want to see in a player with his ability. You want to see that in every player, but when you get a guy that has had the resume that John has, and to see him continue to want to get better and strive for that, it's very impressive. But you know what? I'm going with Kyle Hendricks at this point. I think to have his stuff and to repeat the mechanics and the deception that he has is that everything looks the same. And to have a 2.06 earned run average in with probably close to half his games being at Wrigley Field, guys, what he's doing is off the charts.
We've talked a lot about the wild card races, as we should, Cal, I think, because they're fascinating. The American League may be down to just a couple teams, the Baltimore and Toronto out of the East. Maybe Detroit will sneak in. Maybe Houston or Seattle will get hot. But National League, we've got a flat-footed tie pretty much among the Mets, the Giants, and Cardinals. 2 weeks left. Does the schedule favor any one of those three teams?
Well, first of all, it favored, you thought that the schedule was going to favor the Giants because the Cardinals were just there. And the Cardinals came back and won a couple games, did what they needed to do out there. And I'm trying to figure out, guys, can you tell me which Giants team this is really going to show up?
Nope.
No matter what the schedule is these last couple weeks?
Nope.
Not at all.
I mean, it's scary. You get Bumgarner who ends up facing Kershaw, which is, you know, 1-0 ball game. And there's times when the Giants just look like, okay, now they're going to take off. And they haven't done that. I think the Mets, to a certain extent, are overachieving. You look at some of the guys that are on their disabled list as far as their pitchers, and you're doing this without Matt Harvey, without Matt. I mean, you're shaking your head, and you're without DeGrom. I think offensively the Mets have really helped themselves and helped them stay in it. The Cardinals, you know, Alex Reyes, the young kid, has helped them out in not only in the start that he had in San Francisco the other day where he went 7 innings and didn't give up a run, but also in the bullpen at times. And so they've hit a lot of home runs. So the Cardinals, I'm trying to choose one. I don't know that the schedules really make a whole lot of difference. But the team that wins on the road, like the Cardinals did, have a better chance of being able to come out at the end of this.
You know, the one caveat, Cal, is that I'm not sure about the Mets, but I know the Cardinals and the Giants will be facing, in the case of the Cardinals, they have a series against the Cubs. Who will Madden put on the field? And then the Giants close against Los Angeles. The Dodgers may have that thing locked up by then. And then who do they put on the field? So there is that dynamic.
Well, and I saw that. I know the Cardinals start with the Cubs today, I believe, and it's one of those ordeals for them that now you're still in a rivalry. And I don't know how that's going to play out. I was very curious to that. but you're still in a position, if you're Joe Maddon, that you've got to get your starting pitchers enough innings and to keep them sharp no matter how you're going to spread them out, no matter who's making those starts. If the position players, to your point, Mark, that who would the Dodgers be resting guys against the Giants? The other thing is these teams may not be resting players, even if they've won the division, because they're still going for the best record in the National League and getting that home field advantage all the way through the playoffs.
Well, the Mets finished with Atlanta, Philly, Miami, and Philly.
Yeah, I'd say they have the advantage right now. The Cardinals have the Cubs coming up over the weekend, although then Cincinnati and then Pittsburgh, if they're out of it by then, I mean, Gerrit Cole's out for the year right now. They're hanging on by a thread, and then the Giants go to San Diego, Colorado, and the Dodgers. And we lost Cal from Arizona, so we'll get him back on here in just a moment.
Hold that thought.
319-366-1600. We talk baseball with Cal Eldred from Surprise, Arizona, as he joins us from Kansas City minor league complex down there. Hopefully calling back here at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And there he is, I do believe, right there, calling back here at 24 past the hour of 3. Cal?
I'm back.
All right. Sorry. That's okay. That's all right. I was talking about the schedules, who people have left. Cardinals go to the Cubs over the weekend, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. Mets, Philadelphia, at Miami, and then Philadelphia again. So they get the Phillies twice. And then the Giants go to San Diego this weekend, Colorado, and then the Dodgers. So like Mark said, I think it just depends a lot on who's got things taken care of and the work done by then.
Well, and part of that work, and that's what I was saying when I was talking to myself, the part of that work too is, guys, is going for the best record in the National League. And it looks like the Cubs are going to have that all sewn up, but you still want to have that home field advantage as much as you can.
I'm going to ask you about the Giants last night. Was that the tonic they needed? A little bit of a brouhaha with their arch rival, the Dodgers, with Madison Bumgarner. Is that what they needed? Is that what Bruce Bochy's club had to do to get the juices flowing again?
I think what they need is a little more relief pitching, but it's tough for them because playing the Dodgers last night, and it would have been. I don't know that they necessarily wanted Kershaw and Bumgarner facing each other, but those things sometimes, especially at this time of the year, really motivates your ball club. The tough thing is going back to the schedules, guys, and you guys have pinpointed this perfectly, is the fact that they end up playing the Dodgers at the end. So I don't know if this is help for them, but it may motivate them for the next few ball games.
Hey, Cal, Vin Scully is going to be wrapping up his 67-year career. He outlined a scenario, whether it was actually 80 years, because he apparently saw a game or called a game when he was 8 years old. But nevertheless, he's been with the Dodgers forever. Did you ever run across Vin Scully?
Just just being able to say hello to him when I was in Los Angeles. And the neat thing about him... he obviously was a guy who did his homework. And so what was cool is to meet him and say hello, and he calls you by your first name, which is impressive. You know, that's something that, makes kids and ball players and coaches feel at home. But then also to have family members who said that when they listened to the ball game, the first time that I ever was pitching when he was doing the game, that he told kind of the story of where you come from. And of course, being from Iowa, everybody enjoys the fact that that gets mentioned, but it was, they really thought that that was really cool. And it's something that he's done for thousands of ball players.
Yeah. And we will miss that voice and that man in baseball. No doubt about it. I wanted to ask you, Cal, how tough it is for teams like your Royals, for example, probably like the Seattle Mariners, the Pittsburgh Pirates right now, Colorado to a lesser extent. Although they're still in it, I think, they have a possibility anyway in a wild card. But how tough is it for those teams? You know you're still mathematically alive, but you're about as far away from getting into the playoffs as you could possibly be. And just what's the vibe in the clubhouse and in the dugout?
Well, I think the vibe's sent with who's in the lineup. And you've got younger players or guys that you've traded for. You take Billy Burns in Kansas City. Dozier is another one, an outfielder, younger player, Hunter Dozier for the Royals. And you see, is he in the lineup? You know, you're looking around, and if you see that those guys are in the lineup, then you're like, okay, so are we realizing we're out of it? And Pittsburgh's in the same situation. Those teams that are in the, but you know, there's more teams that are trying to push because of this wild card situation. But, and you also know, though, you look at Seattle and you win a bunch of games in a row, and my goodness, you can make up a lot of ground in 2 weeks. So it's just, I think you look, you have to be careful, and it's a tough situation for managers to decide, and even general managers to decide, are we going to go ahead and take these last 2 weeks to take a look at these players? I don't think they necessarily have to do that, because the rosters, lots of times you see these guys taking at-bats, in other words, the guys that have come up from AAA, against other AAA pitchers, especially if you're playing a team that they know they're out of it. So I'd rather be playing our regular guys and see if we can get a run going.
Kyle, you pretty much spent a year with the Royals organization after being with the Cardinals. I'm curious what your thoughts are on the year that has been.
Well, obviously the Cardinals organization is an organization that I've been in for quite some time and learned a ton from so many good people that work in that organization. And have a lot of friends over there, a couple best friends that still coach and manage over there. So the difference being, obviously, that you're still I'm across the state. That's obvious. I go from red to blue. And but there's a lot of good people in this organization, in the Royals organization. You see why the Royals organization has made that turnaround. And it doesn't happen overnight. And what I see is I've been in an organization that understands how to consistently try to continue to keep the success going. The Royals are in a position right now to where we're trying to figure out how can we keep that success going. The Cardinals may have a little bit more money to spend. Here in Kansas City, we're not in that situation. So it makes the task a little bit tougher. But there are some great people that work in this organization. You see young players and a very good base in the big league, so it's been a very very good challenge for me and a great opportunity. And I have to say, the Glass family is a great family to work for. And I know JJ Piccolo, our assistant GM, is up for a job over in Minnesota as a president or general manager. Great man. You guys would be lucky to have him. The organization in Minnesota would be lucky to have him. But Dayton Moore, working for Dayton Moore, second to none. He's a great man to work for.
Before we get to the top five, are we going to have a one-game wild card playoff in either league? Or maybe more?
Oh. Guys, this could get crazy. I've gone through a lot of the different scenarios and how games would be played. And I don't know. We may see that the American League is kind of sorting itself out, but that could change. But the National League, it could be a mess.
As far as your top five, Cal, I went through the standings today. 14 teams in the major leagues are 5-5 in their last 10. So I don't know that there's been a whole lot of movement, but go ahead and give us your top five.
Well, you're right. There hasn't been. I'm looking at some of these records, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, look at these guys in the last. I've got two teams in the top five, fellas, that are 5-5, but I'm trying to look and see who they're playing and what do they have, what are those teams that they're playing have to play for. But, you know, I moved the Nationals down, guys, too, because they've lost 3 in a row. I know they're 6-4 in their last 10, but I really think they're a really good team. But I put them in the number 5 because I look at what Cleveland's doing, and they're hanging in there. They're one of those teams that were 500 in their last 10 games, but they've lost Carrasco, but they got Clevinger, who has come in and is helping, you know, at the right time. Kluber's been a driving force there. But then I go to having the team that's made the biggest jump is the Boston Red Sox guys. I mean, offensively, I saw a mistake, a PFP, a pitcher stealing practice mistake with CC Sabathia turn into a go from 4-0 to 4-3 with Hanley Ramirez taking him deep with a 3-run homer, and that's why Boston, things just seem to be going right for him. But the top two teams stay at the top, guys, with Texas at number 2 and the Chicago Cubs at number 1. When you're closing in on 100 wins, it's pretty impressive, and I think that's something that Joe Maddon could motivate this ball club with to continue to keep them sharp.
Cal, it should be fun when we talk next week. It'll be the final week of the baseball regular season, week 26, and it's going to be interesting by the time all the dust clears next week.
There's never a dull moment, guys, and there's never a boring moment either. Enjoy every minute of it.
All right. Thanks, Cal. Have fun in Arizona.
You bet. Will do.
All right. Cal Elder joining us here on Tuesdays on the Gym Class. 3:34, we're going to take a break, come back. We'll talk a little Rutgers football with you when we return after this here on KGYM.
It's fun to splurge on nice things, but it's better to get those same nice things at a great value. Like a Honda certified pre-owned vehicle, the best certified pre-owned value in America, and backed by a limited warranty. Let Honda certified pre-owned take you farther. Visit HondaCertified.com and search for local inventory. Honda, start something special.
Based on 2015 Vincentric Best CPO Value in America Awards Analysis, applicable to 2011 to 2015 Honda model years. See dealer for limited warranty details.
You know that Castrol Edge is titanium strong for maximum performance. What you may not know is that Castrol is the official motor oil sponsor of the NFL, because both NFL players and Castrol Edge Advanced Full Synthetic Motor Oil have the strength to perform under pressure.
And now you can get a free Bluetooth speaker with the NFL team logo of your choice with the purchase of 5 quarts of Castrol Edge or participating Castrol motor oils. Visit CastrolPromotion.com for offer details.
Maximize your performance today with Castrol Edge Advanced Full Synthetic Motor Oil.
This is the sound of everyday engine threats like gunk, wear, and corrosion, unleashing their wrath on your engine. Now, this is the sound of Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, providing the best total engine protection you can get. Period. Think all premium fuels are the same? Think again. Choose Shell V-Power Nitro Plus today.
Any Joe Schmo knows GEICO will work to save you money on car insurance. But since money talks, why not just ask the savings?
That's me, Joe Savings. I'm not literally $1 million, but I feel like it. Why? Because when Joe switched his car insurance at GEICO.com, his monthly rate went down and the savings went up. Now he uses the handy GEICO mobile app anytime to check out his policy perks. Talk about a win-win. And 2 thumbs up. Man, I wish I had thumbs.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class, KGYM.
3:36, back with you here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class and KGYM. We're going to talk to Ryan Dunleavy from the Newark Star-Ledger. He covers Rutgers football, and we'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. And we'll catch up with our friend Mayor Vic coming up, too, before we close up shop today. We have a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away as well. All this week, you could win a 12-pack of Dr. Pepper. That's regular Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper, also some Dr. Pepper swag and some KGYM swag as well. That'll be coming up on the program before 4 o'clock. Also, APC coming up later on today. They have some Brunost tickets to give away today as well. That'll be coming up in a bit.
Meant to have Cal Eldred answer our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, but you can go ahead and do so. Who do you think will win the American League Cy Young Award? We give you 5 choices. Would be Rick Porcello, Corey Kluber, Chris Sale, J.A. Happ, or Orioles reliever Zach Britton. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
All right, so we will give you a chance to answer that coming up here, and I think we'll talk with Ryan here in just a moment as well. Talk a little bit of Iowa Rutgers. First ever meeting between the Hawkeyes and the Scarlet Knights coming up in beautiful Piscataway That will be coming up on Saturday morning. 11 o'clock is a kickoff. We have Before the Boom coming your way at 9 o'clock. That'll be on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. And then after the game from our studios here on the Southwest side, we will have After the Final Gun Hawkeye postgame show. It'll be you, Mr. Ryder, and Mr. Brommelkamp this Saturday. So since it is the first road game for the Hawkeyes coming up on Saturday.
Indeed, Ryan Dunleavy, I think he's ready to go.
I think he's ready to go, indeed. And Ryan joins us from the Star Ledger, covers Rutgers football for the Scarlet Knights. Ryan, thanks for joining us and taking time out of your day to talk a little football here.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Anytime.
You bet. And well, first, we were just talking about it, first meeting ever between Iowa and Rutgers. This one will take place out in New Jersey. And tell us a little bit about the first three games for the Scarlet Knights so far this year. 2-1 going into the Big Ten opener.
Sure. Rutgers got – here's what I can tell you about Rutgers' first three games. They're not good in the first quarter, and they're pretty good the rest of the way. They are – they've been outscored 59-17 in their three first quarters. They have three first downs in their three first quarters, and they've been outgained by about 400 yards in their three first quarters. They fell behind Washington 24-0, behind Howard 14-0, and behind New Mexico 21-0. And couldn't rally against Washington, a top-10 team, and then obviously blew out Howard, a bottom FCS team, and then New Mexico, a team that went to a bowl last year, kind of their best test so far, fell behind 21-0 and came back to win the game 37-28. Basically made a lot of adjustments, which has kind of been the case of the first three games. They come out flat and they make good adjustments.
What about this Rutgers football team? What is the offense like? Chris Ash stepping in his first year, has he got things pointed in the right direction anyway?
Sure. The offense, well, Ash is a defensive guy, having come from Ohio State, Wisconsin. He was at Iowa State for years. Your audience might remember he was a defensive backs coach there. He's a defensive guy. He's kind of leaves the offense in the hands of Drew Merringer, who ironically is also a former Iowa State GA. Came through the ranks, really learned under Tom Herman, followed him from Rice to Iowa State to Ohio State to Houston. It's a power spread offense, kind of like the one that Ohio State runs, not your Mike Leach spread offense where you throw 75 times a game. More of a run-based spread offense, and Rutgers has good running backs, so it's a good system from that point of view, but you'd like to have a mobile quarterback to run this offense, and Rutgers doesn't. That's really where the problems start and end for Rutgers is they don't have a good quarterback to run this offense, and the quarterback they do have, Chris Laviano, was a pro-style quarterback, and he was inconsistent in that offense. He's the best option they have, but it's very fitting a round peg into a square hole, so to speak.
Ryan Dunleavy of NJ.com, Rutgers beat writer, joining us on the Gym Class at 3:41. Ryan, I think one aspect that I think you'll agree, Rutgers has been very good running the football, averaging 229 yards a game. And uncharacteristically, Iowa's rush defense has been porous, allowing 174 yards a game, 91st in the country. I'm sure that's an aspect, if not you, that the Rutgers coaching staff is looking at.
For sure. I mean, Rutgers offensive line coach A.J. Blazek is a former Iowa offensive lineman under Kirk Ferentz in the late 90s, early 2000s, so he knows the Iowa scheme. He knows Iowa defense. He knows that they like to stop the run. I'm sure he'll use that to his advantage. Yeah, Rutgers is a line of scrimmage team. I mean, the strength of Rutgers football is the running backs, the offensive line, and the defensive line. That's what they are. That's what Chris Ash wants them to be. That's what Big Ten football is. So he's tried to bring that mentality to Rutgers. They're Robert Martin, Rutgers starting running back. He's a good player, has some game-breaking ability, coming off a career-high 168-yard rushing performance. But Rutgers has other backs, too. I mean, Josh Hicks is a former bowl game MVP. Justin Goodwin started the first couple games of this season. The Rutgers can run the ball. They have three redshirt seniors on their offensive line and three redshirt seniors on their defensive line. So I would expect this game to be won in the trenches like so many Big Ten games are.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, that might not suit Iowa real well because, as you probably know and as the Rutgers folks and coaches know, North Dakota State kind of punched Iowa in the mouth a little bit last Saturday.
Yeah, the buzz around here from Chris Ash and all the coaches, though, is don't sleep on that. Like, North Dakota State might not be FBS, but might as well be FBS. I mean, they're probably every bit as good as New Mexico or anybody Rutgers has seen besides Washington in the non-conference over the last couple years. So Rutgers isn't sleeping on that. They're not assuming that just because North Dakota State did it, they'll do it, because obviously North Dakota State has some real talent there. So Rutgers has struggled on the line in past years. It's just, you know, they gotten off to a good start this year based on experience and Ash really hammering it home with the strength and conditioning program designed for the linemen.
Well, Scott mentioned, Ryan, that this is the first meeting between Iowa and Rutgers, and therefore this team in Iowa and its fans are going to be in Piscataway for the first time at High Point Solutions Stadium. A lot of us know what it's like to go to Ohio State, what we're going to expect to see in Wisconsin with the swaying press box and whatnot. Take us to that stadium and the Rutgers fan base and what we might expect to see or hear there.
Sure, will do. It's just funny, you guys have mentioned the first meeting between the teams a couple times, and I can remember, just as an aside, thinking when this game was on the schedule, what am I going to write about? What are the storylines this week? You know, 'cause I know Rutgers-Penn State has a rivalry, and Harbaugh does a thing in New Jersey that bothers everybody. What are the stories? And between the Neiman family and A.J. Blazek, I feel like I got more to write in Rutgers-Iowa week than I do with we got to play this game every year. So, but, yeah, just thinking about the High Point Solutions Stadium, I'm actually looking forward to it. I've heard such good things about the Iowa traveling fan base in bowls over the last couple of years. What they'll see is it's a stadium that's set off from the main part of campus, about 10-minute drive from the downtown area where the restaurants are. It's a 50,000-seat stadium or so, 52,000, that was expanded in 2009 after Rutgers football kind of came to some prominence in the Big East in the mid-2000s. Did an expansion, extended it. It's not your typical 100,000-seat. It's not Penn State. It's not Ohio State, it's not Michigan. It's a, you know, mid-level Big Ten stadium like in Indiana or whatnot, totally enclosed, field turf. Yeah, probably having been to the places I've been, probably like in Indiana or something like that, not as big as a Nebraska, not as loud as a Wisconsin. It can certainly get loud, though. I mean, I had Michigan players tell me at Big Ten Media Day that the Rutgers atmosphere when Rutgers upset Michigan 2 years ago at home was one of the louder ones they've ever been in. I've had Penn State players tell me that too for the nighttime games. The crowds this last couple weeks haven't been that good. Rutgers fans are kind of notorious for showing up late for noon games, liking to get their tailgating in. So they're coming off a crowd that was only 39,000 against New Mexico, but I expect that to pick up for Big Ten play.
I would agree with that. And hard to believe, other people around the country also don't like Jim Harbaugh as well. So you threw me for a loop on that one. Is that one of his satellite camps then?
Certainly made some waves in New Jersey for some of the things he's done recruiting high school kids out of one certain high school. He gave a graduation speech at that high school. He was the commencement speaker in June, and yeah, certainly has caught the eye of New Jerseyans, let's put it that way.
Last I looked, Iowa is a 13-point favorite. Ryan, do you expect Iowa to cover, Rutgers to cover? How do you expect things to roll on Saturday?
I expect, truthfully, I expect Iowa to cover. I'm not sure that Rutgers is ready for this kind of matchup. I mean, I put it this way. Rutgers has gotten blown out in the under the previous coaching staff by the best of the best in the Big Ten. The numbers are, you know, Rutgers was outscored by 115 points in 2014 in their 8 total Big Ten games. Now, they went 3-5. They went three and five in the games, but they were outscored by 114 points because they got blown out by Nebraska and Wisconsin and Ohio State, Michigan State. Last year got worse. They were outscored by 164 points as they went 1-7. Again, blown out by the best of the best. So I don't think it'll be anything like that. Those teams were not quite as well prepared. Those teams showed some signs of quit in the fourth quarter. Ash has really, for lack of a better term, beat that out of them with his strength and conditioning program, putting them in some adverse situations. But I just think, you know, if you're asking me, I think you're probably looking at a 14 to 20 point game, something like that. Especially, I can't imagine it's good news for Rutgers to get a hungry, awakened Iowa team looking for some revenge after that North Dakota State loss.
Hey, Ryan, before we let you go here, a couple things. Number one, has the Big Ten kind of taken root with that fan base in that part of the country? Obviously, Rutgers is still fairly new to joining the Big Ten Conference. And also, how's everything going as far as the athletic department is concerned? There was some pretty big upheaval, some turmoil going through that. How is that kind of, is that wound down, or where is it at right now?
I'll actually start with this. You did your homework. That's a good, I'll start with that. Yeah, it's in New Jersey, the picture of Rutgers is very different than it was 9 months ago. They fired their athletic director. They fired the coach. The athletic director had quite a few scandals attached to her name. The football coach, Kyle Flood, the last couple years while he was 27 and 24 in his 4 years as the head coach, had 7 players arrested last offseason, got suspended for 3 games by the university for an academic scandal involving a player. So there was quite a bit of upheaval. The new era of Ash and athletic director Pat Hobbs has kind of changed that perception within the state, within the boosters. Nationally, it's going to take a lot longer than that for Rutgers not to be the butt of easy jokes. And then to answer the first part of your question, the Big Ten really saved Rutgers. I mean, Rutgers is at one of those schools that annually athletically is at the bottom. It leads the nation in terms of subsidy from the university, loses money. So those Big Ten paychecks, when they start rolling in 2021, when Rutgers is a full member, is really going to save the athletic department. Otherwise, they'd be in a situation perhaps like the University of Connecticut or the University of Cincinnati, where you're kind of in no man's land playing big-time football but not making big-time revenue. And, yeah, I think the Big Ten, New Jersey, is very excited about it. I mean, obviously the Big Ten doing what it can. Rutgers and Maryland will play a football game at Yankee Stadium next season in 2017. I believe the Big Ten basketball tournament is going to be played at Madison Square Garden. So clearly it's a marriage that both sides are happy about.
Yep, and we will talk more with you, Ryan, as we get more Rutgers-Iowa games under our belt. We've had one basketball game and now one football game coming up on Saturday. So,
yep, anytime.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Keep up the great work.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Ryan Dunleavy joining us from NJ.com and also from the Newark Star-Ledger. We're going to take a break, come back, and going to talk with our friend Mayor Vic coming up when we return after this here on KGYM.
West Liberty, Mediacom's bringing the jobs to you. Come to Mediacom's hiring event Thursday, September 29th. Interview on the spot to become a broadband specialist. This entry-level position includes complete training. Or, if you like talking with people, interview to become a direct sales representative. This position includes a $750 sign-on bonus. Come to the Mediacom hiring event Thursday, September 29th from 9 a.m. to noon at the West Liberty Community Center, 1204 North Calhoun.
This is KGYM Scott Unash. Friday afternoon at 3, we'll come to you live from the LaJames International College Tailgate Tour with the Iowa National Guard. The gym class will be live at Marion as they get ready to take on Maquoketa. Here on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM. We'll talk with coaches and get ready for the action. The LaJames International College Tailgate Tour with the Iowa National Guard, Friday afternoon at 3 on the gym.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the gym class, KGYM.
3:53, back with you on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Thanks to Cal Elder. Thanks to Ryan Dunleavy for joining us. John Krant moves up 24 hours. He's going to join us tomorrow. Chris Liss of rotowire.com will also be joining us tomorrow. His appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. Coming up on Saturday, Mark, the annual Swamp Fox Festival, which includes a road race and a whole lot more. And our friend, he's not the current mayor, but he's always the mayor. Of Marion, Vic Kloffenstein joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you.
Nice festival coming up again. This is probably our 26th or 27th. I've kind of lost track a little bit. it's a great event, non-alcoholic, a lot of corporate sponsorships and private businesses sponsored. It's up to about 20,000 a year. So that's pretty good. Community sure takes part in it.
What kind of activities you have going on this weekend, Vic?
Well, of course, run walk is at 7:30. There's a pancake breakfast at 7 right there between the library and the Heritage Center. There's also a fall market right in the square. They have, a market there the second Saturdays, May or June, July, and August, but then they have this special one then, too. So that's, I think they have 40 or 45 vendors, all kinds of food. You can even buy a bottle of wine, I guess, there.
How about it?
Yeah. But then after the parade's at 9:30, then there's some other activities up there. But then we move it out to Lau Park along about 3, 4 o'clock. Children's activities out there, tomato tasting. And then we got music, Presley.
Not Elvis.
Not Elvis, no. Elizabeth. Yeah. But she'll be there, I think, at 5:30. And, of course, we finish the evening with a great fireworks finale. So,
full day.
Full day.
Full day. Now, how do you get, you have pancakes, and then you go run. Now, that's tough.
I bet the runners won't come by till maybe after the run at 8:30 or so. It's maybe, just a 5K.
Right.
Then there's a walk as well. So, several did come by afterwards. I remember I was flipping pancakes in the morning, so, and I probably do the same thing.
Awesome.
The eggs. So, it's a good time. A lot of people that are involved in the community.
You can't do without sponsors and volunteers, right, Vic?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're right. Yep. There's probably be thousands of people there, and there's hundreds of hours of volunteers.
Yeah. So, now, can people sign up the morning of the race for the to get in the race?
Yes, they can if they stop there early. But most of them sign up online, and they pick up their stuff there at the depot in the caboose. Usually Friday night they get their stuff, and then they get it and they're off running. We're going to run on Fifth Avenue there by the junior high, rather than Sixth at the back of the park. So. We'll close off 6th Avenue because of that fall market.
Okay.
And 10th Street. So the parade goes all the way to 9th this year. So,
wow.
As it did last year because of the fall market.
One of the biggest parades around, too. I know you guys are very proud of that.
It's a good one. The only bad thing, they don't have a band because Linmar has a big band.
competition.
Finale out there Saturday afternoon, so at Linmar Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of information at cityofmarion.org, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
A lot of things to do, and it's definitely a family first event on Saturday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
So it's a good place to take the kids, the grandkids, whatever the case may be.
See, you can go eat pancakes and go up the market to watch the parade, go home and watch the game, and then come back out to the park. And eat out there.
There's a lot of food involved, from what I'm understanding.
Yes, there is. A lot of different vendors.
You still get a lot of calls for somebody's cat in a tree, Vic, or anything like that?
You know, not. I still get some emergencies at night. People call. What should I do? Should I call your son, or you know, he's in the practice? Also, have a granddaughter in that practice.
So nice.
That's kind of cool.
Nice deal.
Yeah.
And I think I called about 200 basketball games that your grandkids are playing at.
I bet you have, too, those grandsons and granddaughters. Yep. Thank you for your participation doing that.
So. Yeah. Well, it was fun. It was fun. And, again, all this takes place on Saturday.
Saturday the 24th, you bet.
And the weather will be perfect, right?
You know, it is. Earlier, they were predicting rain, but I see now it's sunny on that day and maybe 86, so it may be. Does that sound right, or is it?
Yeah, it's
going to be pretty good for this time of year.
Well, it sure does. It sure does. Doesn't it? Yep.
Well, Vic, great to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have fun on Saturday.
Keep up the good work here.
Thank you, Vic.
All right. We need to give away a Dr. Pepper prize pack. We are going to do that coming up right now with Alex Kuhn. And we're going to take caller number 6, 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. Caller number 6, you're going to get a Dr. Pepper prize pack. Mark, tomorrow John Krant will join us, and then we'll talk to Chris List tomorrow as
well.
See
you back here at 3.
All right. APC coming your way next. This is KGYM.
Hey, Golic, I'm about to make you hungry.
Not really sure I like where this is heading, Greeny.
Well, right now, GNC has buy three, get one free on all protein bars.
I'm going to need a little bit more than that.
Leading off, GNC's got awesome-tasting bars. Batting second, they have great brands like Quest. Up third, insane exclusive flavors like Total Lean Vanilla Birthday Cake.
Sounds like I'm about to clean.